Hello and welcome to episode 33 of Chicago Business Podcast, where we introduce leading executives in the area and learn how innovation is changing their industries. I am your host, Drew Sekula, and today we welcome Doug Dumars, Chief Executive Officer and co-founder of Rebellious Beverage Company. Hello, sir. Thank you for joining us.
Drew, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah, nice to meet you. Great to have you on. Why don't you tell us a little bit about Rebellious Beverage Company?
Sure. Yeah. Rebellious is a little bit of what the name implies. You know, we're rebelling against the norms. We provide a functional beverage with zero sugar, zero calories, loaded with goodness. So in our case, we have antioxidants as the base of our ingredient base. And we measure that to come through. We have them come out in little packets, single serve size, that you add to water. So instead of carrying around bottles like your traditional beverage or cans, you can refill up your Contigo or Swell bottle, et cetera, of your choice. And you can add this with you, take it with you to go. And the beauty of this is it's a great mixer for many of things that you can go in. So not only beverages, but food as well. So it's a convenient package. It helps with hydration and simple five ingredients. We don't add anything special to it other than a flavor profile to make it work. And we measure the ingredients to make sure that the end user is not getting shortchanged in the benefit side of it. So
that's great. Well, I'm excited to get into it and explore a lot of different facets of that. But first, let's break the ice with the beverage of the day. You can guess what we're having, but you might not get it quite right. So
of course we got to use a Rebellious beverage here. So we're going to use our Wild Berry. And we're going to make a Rebellious berry explosion, if you would. So how I start with is I like a lot of ice. I drink ice water in February, things like that. So a glass full of ice. We're going to use vodka with this. So I have about 2 ounces of vodka. I'm a little bit generous usually. Just pop that right on top there. And we'll go this direction. Take our packet of Wild Berry, which is organic again, and five ingredients, and just pour it right into the glass. Have that going there. And then I stumbled upon this because there's a lot of ways to make cocktails. We stumbled with a diet 7-Up or Diet Sierra Mist. We keep diet involved because of the zero sugar, zero calories. So why add in 140 calories worth of regular when you're looking at this? So we just pour this right in here. Pour right into the glass. Of course, I wasn't showing you my other pours. I apologize. And then just a quick little stir, and you have yourself a wild berry explosion, you know, from Rebellious. So
very nice. You know,
cheers.
Well, I will cheers you to that. I prepared mine in advance, so happy to join you.
Yeah, it's a tad sweet, but other tonic water, things like that would work as well. So it's very optional. Well, thank you.
Yeah, that's tasty. It's not too strong. I tried one of the I tried the lemon yesterday. You sent a few to try before, and I wasn't sure if that much would potentially overpower it. You what do you normally? But it doesn't here. That's a very nice beverage.
Yeah, thank you.
What is the normal application in terms of the amount of water that you mix with each packet?
So we designed it for that half liter bottle, your typical water bottle, 500 milliliters, et cetera. I have a little bit left of Marvelous, our mango flavor. And this is a 24 ounce glass, but I fill it up about 10 ounces or so of ice. Again, like things cold and ice, and do a quick little mix and come down. So that's just how I am. The beauty of this, we have customers that take our Met and they take two packets and they put it in a gallon of water and they drink it all day long. So it's just, they're still getting all these antioxidants. In that case, he's consuming 600 milligrams of antioxidants throughout the day, and he'll drink it, you know, as the day progresses, and helps him hydrate more, et cetera. We've got others that like our sangria flavor, but they like it very strong. So they like it in about 8 to 10 ounces of water, and like it that way. So it all varies for everybody to come through. And, that's the beauty of it. We're letting the consumers have really been after this individualism for a long time. years, right? And the beverage space, in the food space, it's happened more frequently because you get portion sizes, you get flavor concoctions, you get additives to put in. You know, way back, Hamburger Helper started with all that, put in stuff you wanted, right? But that went away because it's all processed. So now there's all these additives, salad kits, et cetera. So we're doing this with the beverage space, which typically isn't done because Pepsi, Coke, by, you know, everybody out there, you know, pre-describes this is how you want this product to taste. We look at it and say, hey, we want you to drink more. We want you to be hydrated. We want it to be 100% functional for you. And oh, by the way, we don't want any calories or sugar in here either. And we only have 1 gram of carbonate or 1 gram of carbohydrates in here as well. It was zero, but it got tested a few times. It was flip-flopping every time on the test. So to be safe, we call out one. But at the end of the day, we really want to have that functional beverage. So it's up to the consumer to have it, you know, a way they want. We'll suggest, you know, say, hey, look, if you like, you know, maybe even have it in more water, 20 ounces, et cetera. But 16.9 is really what we targeted. It gives that nice flavor, you know, explosion to it without being overpowering. And it usually doesn't come across too sweet, except for when you add a diet soft drink like this to it, that comes across a little bit more. But
there you go. And how many different flavors do you guys carry?
Yeah, that's a good question. We have 10 flavors comprised of three different profiles. So we have five that fall under what we call our base rebellious infusions. So that's peach, lemon, mint, blood orange, strawberry, kiwi. All of those have 300 milligrams of antioxidants and about 45 milligrams of caffeine. They're all based on green tea as the source for the antioxidants, et cetera. Some of the flavors have a little more of a tea component taste profile. I don't know if you picked it up with the lemon you tried yesterday, but unless you knew it had tea, a lot of times people don't recognize that there's tea in there. We have two that we just recently came out with that are caffeine free. One we just did today, the wild berry. It's a hibiscus plant. And then we have our sangria, which is a rooibos out of South Africa. Then we have three that came out earlier this year in a pure energy play. So we're looking at about 100 milligrams of caffeine and about 100 milligrams of antioxidants. So essentially, you know, a small cup of coffee, you know, if you think about it that way, or a little bit more than a Red Bull, but far less than Monster and everybody else that's out there with caffeine. The beauty of all of our products, you know, the ones with about 45 milligrams of caffeine or even 100, you're not getting that spike and crash that you get even with coffee during the day, in the afternoon, you know, siesta that comes on, et cetera. So this is just a nice even keel. It's really a focused energy. It makes you more alert and around. It works fantastic to keep people that kind of are busy on the go, you know, feeling energized as they go through while hydrating. And oh, by the way, having it work for their body as well with all these antioxidants that just about everybody's depleted anyhow of.
That's great. It's great background. Thank you for that.
No problem.
In terms of the ingredients, then it's pretty standard across each of them, right?
Why
don't you talk about that?
Sure. It's five ingredients, with the exception of the caffeine freeze, a little bit different there. But we have, you know, we start with organic green tea. We have a little bit of lemon juice. We have our flavor profile. We bring in a little bit of monk fruit for a subtle sweetness, because almost all of these are fruit flavored, including our spearmint peppermint combination for mint. It's a combination of both of them, and it comes across a little bit sweeter. So we wanted to have a little bit of that sweeter component, but it's not over sweet. You're not going to think of this as a sweetened or syrupy or any by any stretch. So we use monk fruit, been around for thousands of years for that. And then we add in a little bit of organic color to it as well. We've been playing with that a little bit. We're in the middle of a production run. We've actually taken it up another notch. Our mango is probably not going to change too much. It kind of looks yellowish. Our caffeine freeze wild berry is not changing. This is, you know, natural berries, etc. But with our lemon, we might make it a little more yellow using organic, you know, coloring. Same with blood orange, using it a little more orangey, etc. So our strawberry kiwi and our courageous, which is our energy, we have a cherry line called courageous. Both of those will come across a little pinkish red, et cetera, with organic beet juice and et cetera.
Right. Very good. Thank you.
Yeah. So I've been in food and beverage for 20 plus years, almost a little over 25 years. Started my career actually at Kellogg early on in my career, and then moved with only a couple of years there, but right out of college, and then went over to Pepsi for almost 9 years, and then stayed on the beverage side on that side. And then for about 8 years and change over at Kraft, you know, a lot of different roles from supporting category management to division CFOs, stints in investor relations, global strategy, international finance, a lot of different things. Very involved with marketing, brand management, new product launches, et cetera. So kind of wore a lot of different hats throughout my career. Pretty involved with kind of all facets.
That's awesome.
Of manufacturing or anything.
And then decide to go out and try it on your own, huh?
Well, I tell you what, not once during that window when I was there did I ever think I'd go do something like this. I've always operated very much independently and entrepreneurial. I always was bringing projects and things to, you could go back to probably all my managers and bosses and they never said that, hey, we had this whole list of things for you to do and do all the stuff other than some financial close related things that were very prescriptive. So I've always acted very entrepreneur about looking out for things. And after I left Kraft and was doing some consulting work, trading full time, missed the interaction, et cetera, I got involved with a opportunity to really kind of like dive into the benefits of green tea and how that's helpful to the body, and all this tsunami worth of information has been coming out, and said, you know, there's a huge opportunity here. You know, all the work I did before on individualism with branding and on the food side translates very much to what the consumer is looking for on beverages. And, you know, now that, you know, more and more organics are coming through and whatnot, this was really the time to do something different. Of course, we could have put this in a bottle or a can like every other beverage company, right? Done that. I've got that experience. I've been in the plants many times, but that also requires a tremendous amount of capital to go through. So this is a path for us to do this a little bit different than the traditional rollout, be in a lot of locations, and then scale up on the bottle and can side later as we go through. The portability is key. It's the footprint in retail, and it doesn't matter if it's a food store or a clothing store. We don't target clothing stores, but my point is wherever there's a register, this could basically be sold. And it's a huge opportunity to, where consumers, shop, travel, et cetera, obviously online, you name it.
Right. So how long have you been at this now? And
So
where are you at in the journey?
Yeah. So Rebellious is a little over 2 years old. We formulated in 2018, but didn't really launch anything until 2019. We did a very limited soft launch with our first line of products, really kind of wanted to make sure we were on track, got a lot of consumer insights, did some sampling, et cetera. Figured out at that point, we definitely have something. We definitely have things consumers are looking for. And then it, just as we were going into the end of 2019 and into 2020, we were rolling out with hotels and universities and things like that, that who would have thought the world would have stopped moving at that point, right? You know, everybody's from home. Fortunately, we had a lot of people that said they want to bring us on board, but yet they didn't. For that time, because that's good, because we probably still wouldn't have gotten paid from that time period. but those opportunities will all be there for us as we go back. So we took this last year. We brought out a couple more options, our Pure Energy, et cetera. We also started revamping our focus on the retail side, working with brokers, working with some distributors, et cetera, and are starting to scale that up as well. So it's an opportunity for us that actually worked out well. And all of that work that we put in before will still be there and is still there now as we start talking to folks.
Right. Yeah. Well, seems like everybody was impacted differently. So, all in, that's probably not too bad for the pandemic and what you guys had to deal with, although you never like to be slowed down like that. But
no, it gave us some pause, and it's really not, at the end of the day, the reality is it's everybody comes against adversity. It's how you overcome it, what you do with it, and where you go from that. I mean, and fortunately for us, we weren't too far down a path. We're in a handful of hotels and a handful, universities were about to bring us on board. So it they stopped all that, even because of new products coming in. So while the university still stayed open and made meal kits, we weren't able to be a part of that because of basically, you know, drawing a line to Santa, new suppliers, et cetera. So fortunately for us, you know, it wasn't that big of an impact, and we were able to pivot, you know, on some things that we were working on pretty easily. It did set us back in growth and in scale, obviously, but it, you know, at the end of the day, we believe that good things will come out of this. So,
yeah. Great. Well, it sounds like you guys are positioned pretty well. Let's keep going though. Tell me a little bit about your ties to Chicago. How long have you been here?
So we've been here personally, my family and I, we've been here about 12 years now. And I guess more than that, about 14 years now, and time flies. And we came over from Michigan. So my biggest fear when we first came over is that my kids will now like the Blackhawks, Bears, and White Sox. And we've already been Cubs fans before, so it's my biggest fear on that. But turns out that we all like them, so it's all good. We've been kind of transplanted over here, and so it's a good time. You know, we enjoy it very much, and it's. Prior to coming to Chicago, I moved 6 times in 10 years. And it's hard to believe that we very quickly surpassed the longest tenure in one place. And now we're, you know, over double that. So it's triple that right now. So it's good, because my wife was a little afraid. What are the kids going to call home when we keep moving around all the time? And now we don't have that issue. So,
yeah. Yeah. Well, as long as they don't, try wearing a Packers jersey around.
Michigan's
very different than Wisconsin, but I think the Lions fans get treated a little bit better than the Packers fans.
Well, probably only because they've been so terrible for the last since inception, right? I mean, at the end of the day, so it is what it is. But Chicago's a great city. We love it. I visited it many times before, and so we're fortunate to do this. Ironically, if Pepsi would have had the operations that they have now here back when I was with them, I probably would have moved over here with them, but they wanted me to go to New York, and New York wasn't an option. So
yeah, it's a tough place to move to.
Yeah, especially when you're from the Midwest like this, right? So
So tell me a little how you did your formulation then, and what was that process like?
Yeah, so, you know, this is the fun stuff about innovation and working with products. We wouldn't have launched this if we didn't have the contacts in the industry space that we had. And it doesn't necessarily mean Kraft contacts or Pepsi contacts, because, you know, they operate on different playing fields. But just, you know, whether it's supply chain, you know, or manufacturing, et cetera. So we already had a lot of that through our networking and you know, just being active in the space before. So as we reached out to suppliers, you know, that came very quickly for us. Our main ingredient, the green tea, you know, a critical step was we want it measured, and we want it something that we can do. So we found a supplier that can handle that for us, and we have a proprietary product that's for us that nobody else has, which is great. So we went with that. We have a flavor house that's phenomenal, that really took our, you know, main ingredient. We said, okay, here's what we want. Our limitations are, we want it organic. We want zero sugar. We want zero calories. We're leaning towards monk fruit versus stevia, et cetera. You know, we just kind of said, hey, this is what we're after. And then, you know, just a little dialogue on, you know, a conversation around taste profile, meaning not too strong, not too weak either. So this get in, and what do you know? We have like 3 tastings, and it turned out pretty darn good. And we made some minor changes in between, you know, as things evolved and the product sat longer and, you know, things like that. But for the most part, it's been a very, you know, very efficient process. And I think it all comes back to the supply chain. You know, when you work with really good people that know what they're doing, you got to let them do what they do. And it really helps with that. Cause it's always hard to say, you know, you get back information, it's like, oh, well, here's your taste profile that you like, or you'd like change. And it's all subjective to an individual. And so they did a good job packaging that back in, making a tweak, giving us something back to choose from. And it worked out real well. So,
yeah. So you talked a lot about we and us. And so who are you working with on this?
Well, we have a flavor house here in Chicago area, FONA, Flavors of North America. That's great. My business partner, Joe O'Connor, and I are the ones that really started this. We've got, an extended team. They're not necessarily on the payroll, but we have like a head of sales and some graphics and, you know, our corporate team, our packaging team, as well as our digital marketing team have all been, you know, instrumental. And the nice thing about using, you know, external resources for these, as you scale and grow, you get the best. You don't get your newly hired, you know, person you can afford on a payroll, you know, that's out of college. You get a team that's seasoned. Now they might be prorating their time with you because of they're not necessarily a full-time or a bunch of full-time heads. But what you're able to do out of this is really get industry veterans that are the best in what they do. And that's exactly what we've, you know, attracted and you know, partnered with. And it's been very good for us.
How are you handling the manufacturing and the packaging?
Yeah, so we have a co-man here in the Chicago area that does our blending and our packaging into our packets. They've been great to work with. The capability of our entire supply chain to scale is phenomenal. Something I was a little concerned about a year ago when I had a call from one of our guys that said, "Hey, if we got you in about 20,000 outlets, can you get there?" And I'm like, "Yeah, but when? Like, what kind of lead time are you going to give me here? 4 weeks? No. More? Maybe. Let me make calls." So when I, you know, kind of talked to everybody in the supply chain, it basically became a non-issue. You know, we can scale very rapidly, very quickly, which just provides that additional value of who we're working with, you know, being able to do that. Of course, you know, we don't want to scale that fast, you know, without having the orders and the support and the traction to go through, because velocity is becoming an issue. But at the end of the day, from a manufacturing and supply chain standpoint, you know, that's an important piece that we've always looked at as we looked at our partners. We didn't want to partner with certain groups or certain assets of what we're working on and have a ceiling that would be, you know, relatively small on our aspirations of what we can do with Rebellious. So
nice. So have you guys been bootstrapping it, or you took in outside investment or something?
Yeah. So a little both. You know, at the beginning, you know, my partner Joe and I really funded a lot of this. We took in some, I guess the technical term is friends and family money in, people that we knew, people that had some pretty good contacts, help support a couple of production runs. And right now we're getting close to kind of upping the ante a little bit more on, we have supply, we have resources available for, you know, purchase orders or for what they call factoring, you know, your invoices, et cetera. But we're looking at a couple of other options on some, you know, combinations of debt / you know, warrants to equity to straight out, you know, capital raise. You know, looking through some options there. It really kind of depends on scale, growth, and opportunities that come our way. Right now we have kind of a lot of things in work. It just depends on you know, where we want to run with it.
Yeah. What are your most critical business initiatives at this point?
Well, right now it's you know, we really want to build up some very strategic, healthy, higher end grocery channels, et cetera, that would do great with our product. We also want to talk to go back to our contacts on the hospitality standpoint. Before, when we were working with them, it was all about the conference centers and the meeting rooms, et cetera, that were held there. That's going to be the last thing that comes back. So we've remarketed a position to be in room, boost your immune system with our product, et cetera. So we're working through some of that right now, as well as a number of different, we'll call them alternative retail outlets that would be great for our product through a number of our connections. So we're scaling that at the moment. So we bring together some of the best in class from a marketing, from a, you know, POS and even a display standpoint. So now we're kind of narrowing that back a little bit. Now, meeting with my design team later this week to make some edits to that so we can come through. We got a power wing over my shoulder here that you can see, and those on YouTube I think can see, but which is great. It really pops, stands out. That's really good. We also have a floor display that takes up essentially one square foot of footprint. It holds all 10 flavors. It's really perfect for just about every single retailer that's out there, because everybody has a little bit of space somewhere for things that'll turn and drive that are on trend. So we're working on tweaking a few things there to continue to provide solutions and resources for all the retailers. I mean, that's what we are. We're a solution company. At the end of the day, we provide a solution to consumers for a healthy, you know, beverage alternative that they can take with them anywhere, for retailers to get more bang for their square footage, you know, on trend products, etc. And that's always going to be core to what we do at Rebellious.
That's great. What's the price point?
Yeah. So from a retail standpoint, we you know, online we sell 12 packs. And we sell these for about $14.50, $14.75 for 12 of them. For brick and mortar, we have four packs. Here's a four pack example. And they usually retail for $4.99 to $5.49 for four. We also have singles. You know, this is the Marvelous, which is our mango flavor. And these are typically found near a register, you know, in some of the retail places. And these anywhere from $1 to $1.50. Some places will charge $1.75. It kind of depends. Our goal is to always have it priced below a ready-to-drink bottle. So if it's $1.90 or $2.25, you know, we want it to be below that, because at the end of the day, consumer, you know, isn't buying the water and the bottle and the plastic and carrying it around and having to drink it immediately. But they can. So if they do need to, there's, you know, we have a number of retailers that do a free water with a purchase for $2. So they take it up to $2 and say, hey, you get a water in a packet for $2. And we have another couple of retailers that take our four packs at $4.99 and they offer a free water with it as well. So again, they look at these vehicles as profit drivers, you know, ways to drive more turns, more profit. They know that you know, having that water available is something that they can get at a pretty low cost. And so far, knock on wood, we haven't had to fund any of that, because for instance, when they do the packet and the water for $2, they could sell our packet for $1.50, but they just took up 50 cents on the ring. They're buying water at 13 cents a bottle. So they just made, you know, 42 cents or 37 cents additional by taking up the ring. Where else can you put something on ad? You know, if you wanted to do it on an ad and actually make more money, it doesn't work that way. Food and beverage, these are always lost or completely funded by the companies, right? So this way they can do things to drive more excitement, and that's what we provide. You know, again, solutions, right? That at the end of the day, that's what we look for. And it comes with experience and, you know, a great team.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's really interesting to hear what you've created there. What's been the most challenging part?
Wow, that's a good question. I'll tell you what, one of the challenges that I didn't expect to have in this is talking to some food and bev, either buyers or distributors that solely focus on food, on beverage. If it's not in a bottle or a can, they don't know what to do with it. They're completely lost. And I'm like, this is so surprising to me. I didn't think it would be that challenging, because we're looking at ways to, you know, be incremental. I'm not looking for facings to be taken off a shelf to put ours in, or out of a cooler to put ours in. We're completely incremental. And for me, that's been a little bit of an eye-opening experience of what do you mean you don't understand? Like, that's not the exact conversation, but it's like, how do you go about that politely and really bring them around? That was much more challenging than I thought. You know, and then it's refreshing. You talk to somebody like I did last week. It's like, oh my God, this is a great idea. I wish more people would do this, you know, because you're bringing the solution to our category that, you know, we can be across all these categories in the store. I go, I know. And then it becomes a tug of war for the buyers. It's like, well, wait a minute. Well, you're bringing a beverage into my produce area or into my meals to go area, and I'm not getting credit for it. I'm like, well, you know, first come, first serve. You know, help us out. Let's look at the overall profitability for the store. So we're ways that we can help with that. So it's you know, so that's been the most eye-opening experience. And, you know, the most challenging has just been this whole crazy e-commerce place, right? Amazon has just been, you know, everybody feels that pain with Amazon. It's just, they're hard to work with. I never thought that it would be nearly a full-time headcount to manage that. So I was a little little underestimated the involvement there. Out of all my experience working with retailers, you know, maybe I wasn't a direct sales call on them, but I was working with all the teams. Amazon's the hardest one out there. They're the most hand holding. Things change all the time, and you really got to find the right partner to help with that.
Hmm. So you guys are available on Amazon, but the
absolutely.
Yeah, for people who want to check out your product, where's the best place to?
Yeah, so drinkrebellious.com is our site. You know, has all the information. Amazon. We just last week started rolling out about 13 other sites. I don't know if they're all there yet or not, but things like Walmart.com and eBay and others that are moving through. You know, we're in about 50 to 60 retail locations right now, and growing by the, you know, by the day, by the week.
That's awesome. So, Walmart.com. That's that could be big, no doubt.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I mean, it's just a matter of, you know, how it plays out, right? So, right. You know, it's but having it may be available in more places is obviously the key. So, yeah, Amazon is where we went first with it outside of our own site at Drink Rebellious. We have a B2B site on our link at the bottom. So we do, you know, for wholesale packaging and bulk and things like that as well. So we also have an affiliate link at the bottom for those interested in helping us out as well.
Awesome. Well, we'll link it all up in the notes of the show. And appreciate your time today. So it's really exciting to see what you guys have going on there. Anything else you want to highlight while we have you on?
Well, no, I really appreciate the time and thank you very much. It's, you know, we're just part of, you know, evolution of beverages that are taking place in the marketplace and trying to carve our own niche out a little bit here. And we think we're onto something, you know, not only do we think it, but we've seen it from our tasting events we've been to and, you know, the number of retailers and the turns that we're having, it's as well as where we were going in the, you know, hospitality space. So it's a, so glad we did it, and you know, only good things ahead. You know, who knows, maybe we'll be global before you know it. So
there you go. Well, best of luck to you, and thank you very much for your time, and have a great day.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Andrew.
Take care.
Take care.